Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast for November 15th, 2020. Here are the elders for Grace Baptist Church.
Christ will indeed hold us fast, will he not? Praise God. This morning, you know, John has COVID. Caleb has COVID. The Cheryl family is in quarantine. Can everybody hear me? So we're doing something a little different. Blaine asked the elders, the four of us that are here this morning, to pick our favorite passage. Well, I find that difficult. That's asking me to pick my favorite kid. And so I couldn't tell you that George is my favorite kid. But I can pick. That's a good kid right there. But I can tell you what passage of Scripture has been speaking to me more as of late. And I find myself in 1 Chronicles 29. And if you would, flip over there. It's the last chapter of 1 Chronicles. If you get to 2 Chronicles, just flip on back to the first, and then you'll be right there at it. So 1 Chronicles 29. And if you've been in my home group, you know how I normally teach in home group. I usually read through, make comments as we go. That's basically what I'm going to do. And then Garrett's going to come up after me, then Jimmy, and then Blaine, and then share their passages as well. So basically, you got four sermons this morning. So 1 Chronicles 29, just give a little context before I read. We've got David here. He's offering to the temple. He's offering gold, silver, and all the things to build the temple. But David knows he's not going to build the temple, yet he's still giving out of a motive, a desire to see the temple built, to see God's work done. And he's giving freely. Not only is he giving, the leaders, they're all giving freely. With great devotion, great desire to see this building built. So, 1 Chronicles 29. Well, I'm going to start reading at verse 10. But before I read, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can gather together, even in times like these. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us together, Lord, that you have given us your word to read together, to think on together, to meditate together. Thank you for these songs that we've been able to sing this morning. Thank you for that we can boast in the fact that you hold us fast, that we can withstand anything. Our salvation is held fast in you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, guide our hearts this morning. Guide our thoughts, guide our intentions, and Lord, keep our focus on you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right. Verse 10. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all." So we see the king, David, recognizing his head, recognizing who is over his kingdom. Verse 12, "Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. All this gold, silver, bronze, iron, it may have come from David, but ultimately it's from the Lord." Continue in verse 12. "In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." This verse right here is incredible to me. Not only is there power and might in God's hands, there's also within the hand of God the ability and desire to share that power and might. You get that? Did y'all hear that? God has the ability to share that power and might. God can make simple things great. He can make weak things strong. And there's great power and strength for our lives, great boldness for us to live in, great victory for us to live in through Christ. There's nothing we have to fear. Nothing too powerful for the hands of our God. That's my favorite child back there. Nothing too powerful for the hands of God. Not COVID. Not this election that is still being drug out. Not a Trump presidency. Not a Biden presidency. Not marriage issues. Not disobedient children, which I've got one right now. Not sin in our hearts. Nothing is too great for that power that is in God's hands. For God's hands are full of great power and might. And David continues in verse 13. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. Everything is God's. Everything we have to offer is God's already. Verse 15, for we are strangers before you, sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. Brothers and sisters, this is not our home. This is not our home. We may make the mortgage payment, but this is not our home. Our days are short. Life doesn't last very long. It's got a short expiration date on it. It's life is short. Verse 16. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house, for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. So David is praising God in this prayer for the people's mode and motive in giving here. Freely and joyously giving of what they had for the building of God's temple. Freely and joyously giving of themselves to the teaching and testimony of God to all the people. Verse 18, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts toward you. This is the second verse here in this passage that has really impacted me recently. And I pray this same prayer for us here at Grace. I pray that we will forever keep the purposes and the thoughts in our hearts. These same purposes and thoughts. Not for a temple, but for the temple. The temple that was destroyed and raised in 3 days. Christ. May the purposes and thoughts of our hearts be forever on Christ. Every day carries uncertainty. Today carries uncertainty. But with Christ we press on. We remain faithful, looking forward to the glorious kingdom of which Christ reigns on the throne. We have hope because we have a Christ who reigns on the throne victoriously with power and might in his hand. And to finish out the passage, verse 19, grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart, that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, your statutes, performing all that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. And then David said to all the assembly, bless the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed their heads and paid homage to the Lord and to the king. And they offered sacrifices to the Lord, and on the next day offered burnt offerings to the Lord, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and they ate and drank before the Lord on that day with great gladness.
Thank you, Gil. I'm going to be in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17 this morning. And kind of like Gil, I don't have so much of a favorite verse, but these verses encourage me. A lot like Gil was just talking about it, it dovetails right into God's power and God's strength, and that we need to rely on that. However, we often forget that, and we tend to rely on our own strength. And that's where these verses encourage me. So we'll read there. John chapter 21, 15 through 17. Let me set the stage just a little bit first. So this is after the resurrection of Jesus. He's going around and he's appearing to people. And Peter and several of the other apostles are out on the boat, and they're fishing, and they see the guy on the shore, and they realize that it's Jesus. And all the other guys continue getting the boat ready to go back in, but Peter doesn't. Peter jumps in the water, and he swims to the shore. And this is the interaction that Jesus has with Peter once they're on the shore and they're eating breakfast with one another. So, 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So, me personally, I feel a lot like Peter a lot of times, where I do things in my own strength, and I don't depend on the strength of God. You know, Peter was the guy, and he had the best of intentions in a lot of the things that he did. You know, Christ told him he was going to die, and he pulls him to the side, and he says, "No, not you. You're not going to die." And God rebuked him. But I'm sure in Peter's heart, he had the best of intentions for that. But he wasn't thinking about the strength of Christ and what is the will of God. The same thing when they come to seize Jesus. What does Peter do? He pulls out his sword, and he goes to protect Jesus, and he cuts off the guy's ear. But then again, that wasn't the will of God at that time. So I find myself oftentimes acting in what Garrett feels like is best, and not trusting on the strength of God, and not waiting for surety from him what it is I should do. I'm a doer. I feel like Peter was a doer. He felt like, you know, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to make this situation right. I'm going to do what I think is right, and that's not always the will of God. And that's where I find myself a lot, and I'm sure oftentimes many of you feel in that same situation as well, where we want to do something, and oftentimes because we act too quickly, we don't act in the right way. So that's where I find great encouragement here, is that as a believer, Peter's forgiven. And Peter's reconciled back to him. And, you know, we all know what Peter goes on and he does after this. But Peter, this is where this speaks to me, and where I'm encouraged, is that Peter struggled with many of the same things I feel like I struggle with. And these verses of reconciliation with Jesus speak to me. So, Jimmy.
Four quick sermons. Tell John about that next week. My favorite verse, many verses, and through the years they change because my circumstance changes and my situation changes. But for a long time, I've been reading God's Word, and as I get closer to the end, it is true to the end. Even in the good and even in the bad, in the super highs and the deepest, darkest places I've ever been in my life, it's still true. So my verse today has to do with me and Griffin have been memorizing verses together. Well, I know them. He's just memorizing them, and I'm acting like I don't know them. So we're learning. Here's my verse, and it's in Romans, and it's Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. To me, that's it. God didn't just tell me, didn't just write it down and tell me to read it about His love. He demonstrated it. He demonstrated His love for me. And love is an action word. It's not just words and empty. It produces action. And He showed and He demonstrated His love for me and His love for you with action. And He did this while I and you were sinners. Guys, I know myself better than any, and it's not good. Okay? He did this while I was corrupt. He did this while I was not holy. He did this while I am inclined to run to evil. He did this while I showed absolutely no love toward Him. The Bible calls me a child of wrath and an enemy of the Creator. Yet He demonstrated His love to me. He showed it with action. That action was sending Himself, His Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth. He took on flesh. He became a servant. He became an obedient servant, even unto death, for death on the cross. To appease God's wrath for my filth and for my sin and for my laziness and for my wickedness, He took my place. How do you get over that? He took my place. He redeemed me. He bought me back. Forgave me. And I stand before you now, even though all those things about me are true, with no condemnation. None. Because of what He's done. I am elect. I am chosen. I am adopted. I have a seat at the table. I'm part of the family. I have complete access to the Father. I'm adopted, and I have an incredible promise that will not fade and will not pass away. But God demonstrates His own love for us, for me, for you in this: while you were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Thank you, Gil, Garrett, Jimmy, there was concern among the elders that we would pick the same passage, that there would be some duplication. But in God's providence, the duplication was Christ. It was Christ in every instance this morning. To put my passage, and I'm like the other guys, I don't have a favorite. I have ones that I hold fast to. Number one, I'm old, and one of my favorites is seven words. So it's simple to remember. But turn to John 3, beginning in verse 22 this morning. John 3, 22. Here, John the Baptist, he explains his mission as he is the one who was sent before Jesus to prepare the way of Christ. John introduces Jesus as the bridegroom, the one who was sent from above and is above all. Jesus bore witness to what he has seen and heard in heaven. Jesus was sent by God and spoke the words of God and gives the Spirit without measure. All this is sitting or putting my verse in context, okay? Or one of my favorite verses. All because the Father in heaven loves the Son and he has given all things into his hand. All things. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. What an introduction that John the Baptist gives of Jesus. I mean, what an exaltation to the world. Here's the Messiah. Here's the Savior. Here's Emmanuel. Here's God with us. He is communing with the Father. He tells what he and the Father are communicating. He gives of the Spirit. All these things are rolled up in this introduction. All of it. He's preparing the way. John, what a preparation as God has prepared the way through his servant John the Baptist. And with all humility, John steps aside by saying, follow Jesus. Follow him. Listen to him. He is God in the flesh who has all authority. Believe in him. Obey him. John 3:30 is one of my favorites. He, meaning Jesus, must increase. I, meaning Blaine, must decrease. And you see the action. It's not, will you increase? Please increase. Must. It is must. If we believe, we must. We trust Christ, we must. We obey Christ, we must. We're set apart from this world. As Gil and Garrett referred to, we're pilgrims, we're aliens, we're different. We must obey. And as John said, it is not about John. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Like the other three elders, that's what they echoed. You heard that in every message. It's about Christ. It's about his work. It's about his love for us. It's about his sacrifice. It's all that. When I think of applications, when your elders preach and teach, we desire to paint this picture. Do you see Jesus? Is our focus Christ and his teachings? It's not about John. It's not about Jimmy. It's not about Scott. It's not about Gil. It's not about Garrett. And it's certainly not about me. Because we will not always be here. But if we have the centerpiece of Christ, if we have that anchor, that's how we're steadfast. That's what faith is about. It's about Christ. So no matter what comes, you know, death, sickness, famine, war, no matter what comes in the future, and bad things will come, it's about Christ. It's not about any individual. And when I consider this passage, I think of all these things and more. As temptation knocks on my door, John 3:30 always comes to mind. He must increase, I must decrease, okay? Because my thoughts, my ways, I'm of the earth, as John describes in that passage. If you'll read through that passage when you go home, I'm of the earth, Christ is from above. He must increase, I must decrease. I must deny my selfish desires and push evil, sinful things away. Got to push them away. Get out of here. Get behind me. Push them away. Christ must increase, for he gives the Spirit without measure to those who serve him. Trust him. Rely on him. Pray. Talk to others. He gives of the Spirit without measure. The Spirit was given to him. He gives of the Spirit. In my sanctification walk, I need to become more holy. I need to pray more. I need to study more. I need to meditate on his word more. I need to witness more. I need to think of eternal things more. Jesus must increase. Blaine must decrease. And in John 3:33, whoever receives Jesus' testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. God is unchangeable. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. He is holy. He is righteous. He is just. He is steadfast. He is objective. He is not subjective. There is a God in heaven. We will see him one day. In 1 Peter 5, it complements John 3:30, I mean, like perfectly. And I'll use that to pray, and then Caleb will come and we'll sing and we'll close. But in 1 Peter 5, this will be our prayer as we begin to close. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. He must increase, we must decrease. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. You can listen to past sermons at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. You can also join us at the South Row Inn YMCA, 950 Kimball Road in China Grove, North Carolina. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for fellowship, and service starts at 10. Thank you for listening, and remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.